Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blackberry and Bridges, a new podcast for women, conversations with women about topics related to women. Ladies, we have a few guests that were going to come in today, but I wanted to start off by talking about this podcast, which is the first one I've ever done. I am your host. My name is Angela, and I'll talk to you a little bit about my guests, who I'll have on the show a little bit later. So since this is my first podcast, I wanted to tell a little bit about Blackberries and Bridges. It's a new podcast platform. It's a place for private conversation with women for women about topics that are related to women of all ages. This is a place where we can share wisdom and insight and lessons learned, experiences with other women. And the whole goal behind this podcast is to help other women build confidence, provide support, encourage self-discovery, and offer guidance. It's about our journeys through stages of life and the bridges we often cross to get from one point in our lives to another. And Blackberries and Bridges is where we can discuss our fears, our confusion, sometimes even our lack of faith or even our enthusiasm. And so our sweet, juicy fruits of knowledge and wisdom, I refer to those as our blackberries, because I think of blackberries when I think of the juicy fruits of wisdom and knowledge. And we're always so busy caring for each other as women. This is a place where we can discuss our truth, and Blackberries and Bridges is our place for our private conversations. So today, I want to talk about a topic that I think affects women all over the world. But I thought it would be something that could be kind of interesting for my guests, because I respect these women very, very much. I've known them for a while, and they're my good friends, and I thought it would be interesting to hear some of their perspectives about this particular topic that I like to talk about. So I have on my one person I have here is Angela. Angela, say hi.
Good evening, everybody.
Okay, and this is Angela. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Angela. She's a friend I've had for many, many years. She's in her 50s. I chose her because of her wisdom and some of her life stories she shared with me. And she is a mother of two adult young ladies who are doing a great job. So Angela is someone who I respect, and she has a lot of wisdom and perspective that she can share. And she's still open to receiving from other women. And then my other friend here is Mika. And Mika, aren't you in your 40s?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so Nika is a little bit younger than us, and she's not from this country originally. And she is a mother of children. And Nika, you have, is it three children?
Three. Mm-hmm.
She's had three children, and she's
a boy.
She's working on her PhD, and mm-hmm. she is in a new relationship. So she's a little different. She's in a new relationship, and if Angela doesn't mind, right now, I don't think, are you in a relationship right now, Angela?
No, I am not.
Okay. So this will be kind of a fun conversation, I hope, because we have a little different perspective. And I did have another person who I wanted to come on, but she couldn't come on. So it would have been a third guest perspective, but we'll go with what we have right now, because we have a lot of richness with these two guests, Angela and Nika. So once again, ladies, I want to welcome you to Blackberries and Bridges. I'm very proud to have you on my very first podcast. For this evening, and it will be available to everybody a little bit later on, and there'll be details available. But thank you for agreeing to share my first podcast with me. So let's go ahead and get started. This is a good time for you guys. You ready?
Yes. We're ready.
Thanks.
Okay. So I know what you guys look like, and you guys know what I look like. And I will say we're all beautiful women, right? But we have our own different looks, right?
Correct.
So I'm going to just share something. The Center for Change says that 63% of females identify weight as a key factor in their body image. They were not happy with their body weight. And then another study said that 86% of females are dissatisfied with their body. So, you know, I got some information online, some more information from womenshealth.gov, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and defined body image as what you think and how you feel when you look in the mirror or picture yourself in your mind. And, of course, as we know, people, but I'm specifically talking about women, can have a positive body image, and generally speaking, may also have a negative body image. So with a positive body image, we're more likely to have a good physical and mental health a lot of times because we like ourselves. We probably take better care of ourselves and those kinds of things. And then when people have a negative body image, they're more likely to develop, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, certain mental health conditions such as eating disorders, depression, low self-esteem, and those kinds of things. Do you guys agree, or does that sound kind of familiar to you?
Yes, the information does sound familiar, yes.
Yes.
Okay, and something
yes.
that's, I think, is rational, is reasonable. And according to the same Department of Health and Human Services, girls are more likely than boys, often women birthed in the U.S., to feel pressure to measure up to strict and unrealistic social and cultural beauty ideals. So I remember when I was a little girl, I had all my little Barbie dolls, and they all had, like, the Barbie dolls had these so-called perfect shapes. And I remember as I grew up in high school, junior high school, looking at the various magazines like Vogue and some of the other Mademoiselle and other magazines, and all of these women looked basically perfect. And it wasn't until later I realized that these women were not perfect. In fact, they were very much not perfect. They were just chosen to be models, but they were made to look perfect in print, in commercials, in advertisements.
Mm-hmm.
And I always
mm-hmm.
felt like this was not right. This was unfair. You guys, what do you guys think about that? How did it affect you?
Well, this is Angela. I've never really paid attention to that, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
I know, you know, magazines and television, they project a certain, you know, image of how, you know, women are supposed to look. And I've never really paid attention to that.
Okay.
You know, actually, you know, growing up, I was always very small. I was actually teased about not having enough meat on my bones. So I did not really start to struggle with my weight until I got into my 40s. And so, you know, it was a task. It was something different. But basically, I try to put a lot of time into, you know, making myself feel good. For me, of course, this has been a rough year for all of us. We're still in winter, and we have the COVID weight everyone talks about. But for me, you know, actually, probably January and February are the perfect times for me personally to work on, you know, some things that I need to work on, whether it be like a toning or, you know, in an exercise routine, you know, just in time for spring. And I'm usually pretty successful with that, and it makes me, you know, feel good about myself. You know, however, I don't judge others. You know, I think all women are beautiful in their own way. So
okay, so let me go back to Angela when you said you were younger, and you
mm-hmm.
you said you were extra slim and you were teased a little bit about that. I mean, how did that impact
yes.
you? Because there may be some younger girls in their teens and early 20s who may have maybe the opposite. Usually, people we hear in the media and in the news that girls are trying to lose weight, women are trying to lose weight, but there are women who are wanting to get more weight, who are wanting to have a little bit more meat on their bodies. So it's a different perspective. Did that impact you the way perhaps it may have impacted some other girls with the other side of it?
Well, yes, I would say so. Like I said, you know, I was always, you know, small all through high school. I think I weighed like 95 pounds when I graduated from high school. So, you know, as far as like a sports and everything, you know, I was very good at that. I was very athletic. But it kind of bothered me when I was smaller because I was always teased about it. And, of course, when you're small in a stature, people think that they can pick on you and, you know, things of that nature. But I guess they kind of found out the hard way that they really couldn't do that because I was raised with a lot of boys, so that didn't work out too well for them. But it was in my 20s, I think, that I started working out, you know, with my husband. You know, he lifted weights, and he introduced me, like, to the protein shakes and things like that. So I would work out with him. And I think for the first time in my life, probably in my early 20s, I did start to gain a little weight. So,
oh, wow.
You know, that made me feel good. Yeah, you know.
So you kind of felt better?
Good. Yeah, I did. I mean, it wasn't that, you know, personally, you know, I felt bad about it. I just figured I would do something different, you know. So, like I said, when I started working out with him and drinking the protein, I did gain a couple pounds. So, you know, that was nice, but, you know, I'd gotten used to being small. I really didn't mind it. And come to find out, you know, years later that I was getting a lot of attention by being small that I didn't even realize. But everybody
so
has
Mika,
their own preferences.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So I'm sorry, I have a little delay here. I was going to say, Mika, you're not from this country. Do you mind saying where you grew up?
Okay, hey. Actually, my name's Mika. 3 kids, 1 boy, and 2 beautiful daughters. And then I'm from Nigeria. And also, I've known Angela for a while. First off, I'm going to say I'm proud of you for starting this. This is wonderful and a great opportunity for us. Yeah, everything and what we know. Yes, I'm not from here, but I lived here for over 18 years. So basically, I'm from here.
Okay, so when you were growing mm-hmm. up in Nigeria, your little teenage girl, junior high school, would you say you were at all impacted by media and what media said about how women or girls should look and standards of beauty?
I mean, it's more like it's not something that people it's not like women's size, weight, height, beauty or whatever we call it is everywhere. It's like a global. I would call it global pandemic. Yeah, so it's global. It's everywhere. So people always have like Angela was saying, she was in a small size. So I grew up in a family of, like, I have many sisters. So I have, like, 6 sisters. I was one of the youngest. So I'm tall. My problem is I'm tall in between. So I have that, you know, that looks like I'm tall. I have long legs, but so I also have a problem where people judge me about my height. Oh, can you move around? You're taller than us. Can you don't wear heels? So it's always a problem. So there's always a problem when the body type, body shape, your color of skin. So there's always, you don't know where to fit in. And then I feel like, because I'm taller than my sister. So if I wear high heels and, you know, in high school when you want to go to parties and people will say, why is she wearing high heels? She looks like a giraffe. She looks like that, you know. So I start flushing. Like, I wouldn't want to walk straight. I want to, you know, try to hide myself. So it's everywhere. When you're little, there's something people will say. When you're big, there's always something people will say. When you're tiny, when you're skinny. So I think it's always have to be like you building your own confidence, you know, how to. Now I love my height. I love that I can wear 4 inch. I don't care. Yeah. So it makes me even happy. It was very, very challenging when I was in high school and then when I went to college, because it's always like I always get picked on, you know, someone say you're too tall. It's not like I'm that tall. I'm 5'9½, almost 5'10". So, but still, they always have to make you feel like I'm like 6 or giraffe.
So how did you learn? You said you learned to like love your height. How did you learn to love your height? What did you do? What happened?
I started, you know, I have a. So I did some a little bit of, you know, local. I found some people close to my height or people like I. Then I started looking up to all these fashion models like. Because I went into beauty pageant and stuff. So I was looking up to some people at the same, you know, how they carry themselves, even if they're not all, you know. I looked at up other women, young girls, and older, you know, different sizes, different women's age groups. And then I have a sister who will always talk to me like, you don't have to worry about that. And that's how I navigate. So most of my friends, I'm not saying that, but I think I started, you know, hanging out with people who understand how I feel, people who can also build me up instead of people who talk down on me. So that is, you know, stay close to positive people who will talk to you very well, people who will make you understand that you just, yeah. So that's trying to stay, you know, close to them. Don't leave that. Just try to make sure that you're around positive people. Yes, that's all I did. I was around positive people, and they always helped me build me up. So that's when I started, you know, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to bring you up from your 20s, and you think about how you were in your 30s. And for you, Mika, your 40s, and Angela, and I didn't say anything about me, but, you know, in our here we are in our 50s. And I guess think about how you thought or rethought your view of your body, your body image. So, for example, I know, like, when I was a senior in high school, I was actually borderline anorexic, okay? So I felt like I was already slim, but I had influences near me on a daily basis who made me feel that I was still too heavy. So for me, my body image was not always positive. Then there were times I would look in the mirror and say, like, oh, I look really good. But then there were times that I would, you know, I'd say, like, no, you don't look so good. You can look better, lose some more weight, that kind of thing. And that was in my, you know, my late teens. Then going up, I got over it pretty much my 20s and 30s and my 40s. But, you know, that kind of stuff impacts, I think, and tell me what you guys think, but I think how you think about yourself clearly impacts how you interact with in relationships, right? So, you know, are you confident? How do you carry yourself? Are you, how concerned you are about what that man, what you expect that man or your partner to think about your body? And I don't know, what do you guys think?
Well, I think as a woman, it is a natural to have those thoughts, you know, like how somebody else is going to view you. You know, like I said, you know, that's a woman thing.
Uh-huh.
But I've pretty much kind of found out over the years that, you know, whether you want to improve yourself, you know, that's on you. You know, that should be personal, you know, or to you. You know, my opinion, you know, when it comes to men is that, you know, they should be looking, you know, at your character, you know, and your inner beauty, you know, first and foremost. You know, one of the things that, you know, I've always thought about myself is that, you know, if you don't get to know me on a mental level, you will miss me. And that's always been my thought process. So if you're looking, you know, at the outer, if you're just looking at the outer, you're going to pass me on by. You know, not to say I'm not, you know, a good looking, but
yep.
I am more interested in someone that's going to see the whole person.
And that's
so
awesome.
It really doesn't matter to me, you know what I'm saying, you know, what they think, you know, about my body. Because if you don't get to know the whole entire person, you're just going to miss out. You know, it just, you know.
Right.
Just, you know, pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I think the whole issue is that, when the beauty is not reflecting on the inside, it's going to be it's something that I don't see I don't look at much on the outside beauties on the inside. So when, like Angela said, if someone doesn't look on the inside and see all this, then he's missing out. Yep. He's going to lose out. And I mean, that's what I believe. You have to take your time, pay attention, and get to know who she is. Mm-hmm. Not just the beauty.
So it sounds like the two of you have learned, you know, we all gone through our things growing up, going through life, our experiences. Our bodies have changed. All of us were slim at one point. All of us had half children now. Our bodies are different as we've gotten older. And actually,
yeah.
I would say that I actually like my body more now than I did before, like when I was in my 20s. I was slimmer and more tone and more everything because that's part of being young. But I have a greater appreciation and love for my body now. And I'm 56. I'm going to be 60. I'll be 57 this April. And would I change some things about my body? Yeah. But overall, I'm really happy with where I am in terms of my body image and just how I engage with other people and the clothes that I wear. I feel much better. You know, technically someone could say, well, when you were 20-something, you look better in your clothes. Okay, but right now I'm very happy with who I am. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you think by society's standards, and even your doctor, I mean, even your doctor can make you feel bad.
Right.
Someone
yeah.
can look at me and say,
yeah,
you know,
well,
you're not a big person.
You
know, you're a skinny person. You know, mm-hmm. but my doctor will tell me, well, you're 25 pounds overweight. You need to lose that.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I understand for a health reasons, you know, if for a blood pressure, you know, a cholesterol and things of that nature. But even that can affect your body image. You're like, well, I don't think I look that bad. But you've got somebody telling you, you need to lose 20, you know, you need to lose these pounds. And so I really try to take it from my health, you know, a perspective, you know, and just deal with it that way. I'm really actually more interested in a toning, you know, at this particular point in my life. You know, my weight itself doesn't bother me, but I do, you know, like to tone, you know, a tone up.
Yes. Like you were saying, like after having babies, yes, of course, you know, I'm lucky that I was able to, you know, try to hold on. But sometimes, like, you know, when I eat more, whatever it is, and then it comes back to the belly, and you just have which is something, you know, we all, you know, female, we struggle with. But does it bother me that much for me to be, you know, going to the gym every day? No. But when I try, it's more like something sometimes I'll say that I wish. Because in my 30s, when I work out, it's easy to get it done easily. But as soon as I hit 40, I was like, oh, okay. What is going on? I can't even lose weight. No, I tried, so I give up. But I love my body. I was talking about, so I was like, okay, my body's more curvy now. I love it. The only thing I work on is my stomach. I was just talking about with my trainer. You know, I said, no, I don't want to lose that weight. I love it. I feel like, you know, I like everything.
A woman.
Yes, I like exactly. My everything. But I just want, you know, I work on the stomach and that's it. So push is not bad. I just want it. So, yeah, of course. We not just as a when you're having kids, when you as a woman, you know, a girl transforms into a young lady and then goes to that stage, our body changes, so it changes. And I like it now. I'm not gonna change anything for it.
I think when you're a little bit younger, your 20s and 30s, you might feel like you're in competition, you know, with other.
Be honest, Angela, Anika, here you are in your 40s and 50s. You're out at a club, of course, with COVID-19. That doesn't really happen. But, you know, pre-COVID-19, you're out at a restaurant or you may be at a club or you're at a party or something and you see all these young girls in their 20s and their 30s. And, you know, they have their all different shapes going on, too. You know, they're not all looking like. Top models or anything, but they have their own different looks and different styles and different body shapes and everything that are just as beautiful. But do you ever feel the need to try to compete just a little bit, just to see can you even compete a little bit on some level?
No, not at all.
No. No. I just go in and have fun. I don't even like.
And really there is no need because there are enough younger men that like mature women.
That's what we were talking about, that, Angela, right? So
we were
just talking about that. So I get a lot, like sometimes, you know, my students would think I'm like in my, the first time I started like 8 years ago, they think I'm in my 20, like 28 or something like that. So, but I still want to make sure, no. That time I think I was like 35. So I still get that. So when people would think maybe I'm still in my 30s. However, I don't want to know, like, I don't care, like, no, there's no competition. I just like how, like, the way I like to dress more maturely now to look more my age appropriate because it makes me happy. I don't want to change anything for that. Nope.
No and way. I think we come to a place where we're more comfortable, as we grow into ourselves as women. And I think that's very important. You know, I think when you get to a certain age, like I said, you know, they say what a 40 is the new a 20. I mean, I think I really hit my stride when I turned 40. Those probably were
really
the best years
really 40
for me. Yes, 40.
You know when how old I was, and I feel like I didn't hit my stride till I was 50, and I feel like now. It wasn't until I was in my late 30s that I started thinking of myself as a woman. I was still a little girl Angela.
No. I feel like now
I'm delayed.
I feel like in the beginning when I turned, you know, because I'm 41, so when I turned 40, I was like, oh man, But I didn't feel nothing. I feel like, you know, when they talk about when you hit that 40, there's something different or something. I don't feel nothing. So that I was saying to myself, I don't even know. So I was happy. At some point, I was like, does that mean I'm getting old? Then I would just say it to myself. Then I would say, but I don't look like that. I think I'm aging backwards. So then, and then I said, okay, I have to. So I would say, when I'm done with school, with this year, this is my time to live my life. I mean, I will be 40 and fabulous, like being take time for myself now. So more, because it's more like raising babies, running around, even though they're still young, but it's time for me to take care of myself more. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I agree with you, Nisha.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
If you were going to go back and say something to yourself from your 20s, what would you tell yourself now? What would you tell yourself, your 20-year-old self?
Do you want to hear mine?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Don't get married.
You know what? I totally agree.
Okay, you see? I said what nobody wants to say.
I agree. You know, I mean, I share this, you know, with my daughters. You know, when you were, you know, I got married for the first time when I was 18 years old. You know, so I share with my daughters, you are still growing. You're still finding yourself. You don't even know who you are. And it's not until you're like 25 or, you know, older that you actually start to really become an adult and know, have some idea what's what. You still don't know everything, but at least, you know, and I was like, you know, wait until you're 30, you know, when you're 30, but,
no, I mean,
you know.
28 is not, I don't have a problem if you still like that, but that's too early, like you said. Me, I think me and you are in the same page, like that age, 19, 20.
Because you don't even know yourself. How are you going to share your life with another person long term?
I was thinking just like a relationship. When you're done, you pack your bag and leave. No, that's what I would say to myself when it comes to that part. But the other one, that's all, because that's what I believe. I would have time to, you know, do stuff I wanted to do on my own, and basically on my do the stuff I feel like I missed, I wanted to, because my career was going on the other side, but I think that's what I would say to myself. Wait, don't get married yet. Just wait.
Okay.
Because it's tough.
Okay. Okay. Angela, you agree with the 20s, right?
Yes, I do agree. Okay. I do agree. Because like I said, I had no idea who I was, what I was doing, you know, how to be a mother, how to be a wife. You know, I didn't even know myself. Even though I would not take the time back, you know, because I got, you know, I got a beautiful children, you know, and that, you know, I wouldn't give back for anything. But, you know, if I would have given myself more time. Now, luckily, I was able to make up for, you know, all of the lost time on the back end. But some of it don't get the opportunity.
Yes. The one thing I have to say that I also get out of it is like the kids are growing. So when people see me and my son, you see how they're like, oh, are you siblings? Which is, I mean, and when I see my sisters or my friends who see just getting married and having kids and the kids are little running around, I'm like, I don't want to deal with any child. I'm done with it. So the kids
have already
done
it.
I don't. So I'm like,
well, you know, and there's one thing I didn't say about Angela. Angela's actually a grandmother. So I didn't say that.
Yes,
I have actually three grandchildren, and that was one advantage, you know, me having my young, that, you know, when some of my other friends were still having babies, honey, mine was grown.
That's what happened now. My friends are still having kids. And, The kids are maybe like 5, 6, 7, and then my last baby is 11. So imagine me, my life is, I'm free, like, free.
Mm-hmm. So and I'm living it. I can say, oh, I'm glad I had mine early. I could not raise a child, a small child at this point.
No. Oh, man, it's a lot of
work. And then the one thing I didn't say early on is at any point in our lives since we've been mothers, we've also have been single parents for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and all of us have at least one, or well, actually, all of us have two daughters, right? All of us have $2, but then you're different a little bit because you have a son. But so let me ask you this: your body image, what we've been talking about early on, and how it plays out and your understanding of who you are as you're getting older and wiser and learning about yourself and you're in relationships,
mm-hmm.
you're married, you're divorced, those kinds of things. Our little girls are watching us the whole time. They're learning from us the whole time. How should
That's
they
true.
See themselves, their roles
mm-hmm.
in the world, their roles with other people and relationships? You know, so this body, I started out talking about body image just to start out, but it goes out so it just impacts us throughout an entire life in every way possibly, you know, because how you think of yourself on the inside determines what happens, you know, how you play out in the world to some degree, you know. So let me ask you this. Think of just for a second, like three really good things about yourself. If you were going to good things about yourself, and if you were going to give one set of words of wisdom to women listening, what would you say? So three good things about yourself that are solid good things about yourself, and then some piece of advice you would give to women of any age about life, body image, maturity, anything.
What I would say, good about myself is someone I'm always I think sometimes people will see it as I have two personalities. I like to have fun.
mm-hmm.
I like to have fun, and then I am very, very serious person when it comes to like my work or job or school. So it's more like I switch in between. Uh-huh. So when it's time to have fun, I go have fun. When it's time to study, I shut down. I shut down. I can just turn off all my social media, whatever it is, shut it down. I don't care who you are. I don't care who that is. I'm not talking to people. So I will just focus on that. So one thing about that is talk about myself that I am always I'm disciplined when it comes to things that are very important to me, okay, and focus. I am a very spiritual person. I feel like it helps me calm down and and it doesn't, since I'll say that's a good thing about me, though, but that's how, yeah. So I'm very disciplined. I always, like, I'm focused when it comes to things. But
okay.
That would not stop me from having fun.
Okay, and what would be one piece of wisdom you would share with women? Just one thing you would tell any woman or girl?
What I would say to young girls, because, same thing I'll talk to my daughter is always know when you know the right thing to do at the right time at the right place, because sometimes we forget about things where we're coming from. Okay, I want them to always remember that you have to always be who you are. No, remember where you're coming from, and then do not try to change yourself. Okay. Just try to be who you are, exactly who you are, that confidence in you. If you need to talk to somebody, talk to somebody about whatever is going on in your life. Do not shut anyone down. Just make sure you always have to talk to someone, reach out for help, because, you know, as a woman, we all struggle. So always remember, as a teenager, they will always have a problem. She will always have someone to talk to, or but she wouldn't want to do that. She, you know, people would try to hide. And it's a lot of causing depression, anxiety, and peer pressure. So try to reach out to someone and talk to someone. If it's, I know I try to talk to them all the time, but if it's not me, my sister, whoever, but try to find someone you can talk to when you Yeah, that will help you relieve a lot of maybe stress or whatever is going on with you. So that's my advice. Try to reach out to people and talk, but not giving them all about you.
No, that's actually really good advice. Because, we all remember when we were teenagers and there were times when things were a little bit difficult and we needed help figuring some things out in life or relationships and school environments. And having someone to talk to is really, really important. And, you know, we've all heard the horrible stories of a kid who held something close to himself for too long and things didn't go so well. And it happens to adults too. And then here we are dealing with COVID-19 where people are shut in and they're not being able to engage with others as much as they normally would, including even especially family members even. And, you know, life has changed over the last year, almost a year now, and people are feeling it and have been feeling it. I think people are starting to get used to some aspects of COVID-19 life, but it's still pretty difficult. So even pre-COVID, it's important for people to have a wingman, have someone to reach out to, someone that you can engage with, someone who will check on you, someone who you can discuss things with, and that's any age. So I think that's really, really good wisdom. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
And so, Angela, what would you say would be a couple of things good about you and then some word of wisdom that you would share with a girl or women at this point in your life?
Well, I think, one of the things that I like about myself is that I am easy to talk to, apparently. people always call and ask me for advice, and it makes me feel really good, to be able to do that, whether it's about business or personal stuff or, the young people in my family. You know, we can sit and talk about things and I can relate to them. And so, I love that because other people love that about me. I'm loyal to a fault. if I'm for you, I'm all in. Okay.
Right.
Whether it be a relationship, a family, if I care about you, I will do anything for you. And, that's just my natural, a personality. But one of the things that I would tell people is, it's been an adventure for me. I've gone through a lot of different cycles in my life, some bad, but all a learning experience. But I love studying something that I'm interested in. I love growing. I love following my passion. If it's something, that I'm interested in, I'm all in, for that. So,
right.
And just finding more about yourself, things that you can do for yourself that make you feel good about yourself. You should always strive for that, and have fun, with it.
Yeah.
And that's what I've learned to do. I have been, I've been married, I've raised children. I spent a lot of time, with my career, and then sometimes you have to reinvent yourself. It's all an adventure. But, just being a positive, about the journey, it is nothing but a journey. And just, be all in. That's the advice that I would give someone.
And so I'm going to, in this last couple of minutes, I'm going to tell you some things that I've observed about the two of you over the time I've known you. So, once again, I want to tell you thank you for supporting me because I selected certain people for this first podcast, and I appreciate your taking time out of your life to not only to support me in this podcast, but to be willing to share your story, some parts of your story, and to give wisdom and with other women and people who will be listening. Both of you talked about the journey, and, that goes toward the title of this podcast, Blackberries and Bridges. Once again, we're all on a journey. We're on paths. We have to cross different kinds of bridges. Some are wooden bridges. Some are short bridges. Some are old rickety bridges. Some are high-tech bridges. There's all types of bridges, that we cross point in our lives to another. And then once again, I talked about the blackberries that you guys have shared a lot of blackberries. It's like the basket is pretty full from this one podcast. You guys have shared a lot of wisdom and knowledge based upon your own experience and your observation. So I'm just going to tell you that some things I like are some things that you two share to me. Okay, you're very good people. You're very good women. You're very good mothers. You have great energy. You both of you are very focused. if there's something you want to do, you'll work hard to get that done. You guys are not quitters, and I love that, that you're both very intelligent. And I have to say, as a friend, you both have been very non-judgmental to me. You're very wise. You're curious. And I love that curiosity because that brings, like, life, you know? Like, it's an interest in something besides just walking humdrum all the time in your life, because it's real easy in life when you get older just to become humdrum. And then you're both very beautiful too, on the inside and the outside. You're beautiful on the inside and the outside. And the thing that's really important to me about the two of you is that you're still living your lives and you're still loving. You're living and you're loving. And that's really important to me. It's very easy during certain times or periods in our lives, and even that, once again, with COVID-19, to kind of just shut down and just kind of, you know, just hunker down and wait for things to change. And in the meantime, time is passing and you're losing time with your life. But neither one of you are doing that, and I really appreciate that, because I'm watching my friends and I'm learning from my friends, and I'm selective about my friends, and I love my friends. So, you know, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for supporting me, and thank you for sharing the wisdom you have, the experiences you've had, your blackberries with other women and listeners. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us, friend. We love you too.
All right.
Yes, thank you.
You know, I'm going to call up you guys in the future for something, because you're so great. I know you have more to share in the future.
Yes, thank you so much for that. And I'm so proud of you.
All right.
So, just the beginning.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so
looking forward
all right.
to it.
Thanks for listening to Blackberries and Bridges, first podcast. See you the next time.
Oh, as I should.